You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you're going to have a good rest of the week. Today, of course, is Wednesday, hump day, and the day before the day of misgivings. We're going to talk about that. That is the focus of the program today. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to be done, it must be done, then you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate you. And of course, you're going to do it safely. You're going to be masked up. You maybe have gloves on. And you'll keep your distance. And you'll get it done. Because it's serious out there. And I think it's going to be serious for quite a while. And it's going to get even deeper, particularly for those who just said, hey, I got to go visit. I got to see my family. We've been cooped up since March. And the doubters have been really big on Facebook and other social media, disclaiming this virus and so forth. It's not real. And man, it's crazy. I don't know about you, man, but I know over 10 people who have died. And my cousin called me that his mama, she's 80 some years old in a hospital with COVID. And now she's on a respirator. She's already had health issues. Right before I left Milwaukee, when I saw her, she had health issues. So brothers and sisters, let's continue to do all that we can. Yes, I know all the controversies, all the conspiracies, all of that. We'll deal with that later. But right now, what does it take for us to be safe in our homes, in our families, with each other? What does it take? Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's be here for next year to deal with this. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. So if you want to check out some of the previous programs, do that, because some of them were pretty decent. Even if I say so myself, it's not me either. It ain't because of me. I'm just facilitating, you know. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, on Monday, well, once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, hosted by Brother Wahad Ahmed, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Jihad Ahmed. And then followed by Black Therapy Central, Dr. Malali Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban, Black Therapy Central. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. I listened yesterday. Good program, Doc Rogers, you and Dr. Bridges and all those who participated. Black Reality Think Tank on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Thursdays is a new program. I can't remember the title, Melanin something. I'll get it. There's a new program, 7 to 9 on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 until Time for an Awakening. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers on Saturdays from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council, with host Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 7 until. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Please, brothers and sisters, go online, check it out, purchase some products, something for the holiday, for these high holy days, or whatever, or just online, or just to truly be supportive, and also to donate. Once again, the brothers and sisters from We Buy Black are seriously trying to develop a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, and of course, the success of that will venture into other cities where we are dominant, where those brothers and sisters who produce produce, who are farmers and so forth, their goods and services will be in those stores, and other products that are produced by us will be in those stores. And don't you think we should have that? Don't you think we should get some of that money? Like here in Atlanta, we don't have a supermarket. It's ridiculous. I was telling my daughter, I would love to purchase my gasoline, you know, in Milwaukee. Back before I left, you know, there was only one Sister Diane over on 8th and Atkinson. Last one left. There were many coming up. She's the last one left. Everybody else is predominantly Korean, Indian, whatever. But it ain't us. So we buy black. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Taihemba is in Tanzania, November 20th through the 30th. He'll be back soon. I can't wait to talk to him and see the videos and the photos that he has. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see videos of previous tours, because he's sent over 400 of our people, helped four of our people to go to Africa on a tour of a lifetime, a trip of a lifetime. Go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Rinoko Rashidi, his trip that was slated for January 21st through February 4th to Uganda and Rwanda, that has been rescheduled October 5th through the 16th, 2021. And beautiful pictures of Uganda and Rwanda. And, of course, just saw a piece on Rwanda is one of the cleanest places, best cities in countries in Africa. Uganda and Rwanda. He also has a trip before that in August 1st through the 14th, going to Kemet, or what the Greeks call Egypt. Rinoko Rashidi. If you want to give Brother Rinoko a call, give him a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Or go online to Dr. Rinoko. Dr. Rinoko. Habashah. HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. This is one of the organizations that we truly want to support because why? They are doing the work. They are doing the work. They have great projects. They have the Kashi project that the homes are going up. The landscaping is there and so forth. The Kashi project.
in Ghana. They have work here. The Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers, the Urban Green Jobs, all of it right here. They are doing the work, and they deserve to be supported. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org, Habesha, which stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. The Ledge Group, you know, my good brother Peter Brown and brother Nkuzi are doing an outstanding job. I mean, the Ledge Group, which stands for the Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, the Land for Environmental Development of Group Economics. And of course, they deal with food, water, clothing, shelter, the basics of for human existence and human life and human comfort. And that's what they're about. They are in active with 12 projects and 6 countries and 172 people employed, 560 members. Go to theledgegroup.com, theledgegroup.com. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The holiday, the so-called quote high holy days are coming up, and please, brothers and sisters, when you do your shopping, consider American African businesses. Okay, please consider American African businesses. Oh man, I forgot to put that up too. The shrine will be open this weekend on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. Here in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. The shrine will be open for to buy gifts and books and so forth. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located on Ralph David Abernathy. The Medu Bookstore is located in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 346-3263. And Brother Gazemde Ajamu with Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Ithonia. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located in the front end, located in the West End, right on Ralph David Abernathy, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, across the street from Soul Veg, and up the street from the West End Mall. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Delicious smoothies and health drinks and so forth. Man, beautiful. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family-Centered Economics. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night. Yes, they will broadcast tomorrow night, I believe. BlackTalkRadio.com. They're on Black Talk. They're on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com /ULU, Us Lifting Us, /ULU, and the name of the program is Dare to Win, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. If you want to call, call the number. The number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And if you just want to listen, you can do that too. If you want to talk, press 1, it'll put you in the queue, and you can give your question, comment, or concerns to Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing a beautiful job of working with our people in the northeastern portion, in the hills, in the rural area of Haiti. Go online, go to Sanjay, S-O-N, J-E-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. These things that I present to you, I support myself. I'm not asking you to do anything that I would not do. You know, I would definitely do that. I would not do that. So I'm saying to you, these are things that I feel that are worthy to be supported, worthy to for consideration and to be promoted and to give your time or more importantly, your money too. So please, brothers and sisters, make that a consideration. Akaban Institute, Ackerman Institute, located here in Atlanta. Ackerman Institute, make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786. 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And you want to use PayPal or Cash App, the dollar sign, YYAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your consistent monthly donation to the Ackerman Institute. Before I read the Enye Sesem, I'd like to, when I looked at Facebook, there's a volume 2 of the Enye Sesem. I'm very excited. I will pick that up so I can begin to read that from the January 1st to all next year, and rotate them and so forth, because once again, it is a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. And Baba Baruti says, each day, warriors need words that give them cause to consider the significance of what they must do. Each day, dedicated revolutionaries must articulate and refine the nature of their service to African people. Each day, centered workers deserve to have their thoughts recognized and their intent validated by minds of like spirit. Each day, those who live and would die for us should be reminded that they will never be alone and that their thoughts are those of every other member of the warrior class, seasoned elder warriors, and most deserving and honored ancestors. They will find the sustenance of these affirmations here in this calendar every day. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thoughts. November 24th. It is the fool whose own tomatoes are sold to him. A kind proverb. In those few cases where Africans win lawsuits against government entities and receive monetary compensation for their loss, the African community is still victimized. We get so excited over these victories, we forget that the money used to pay this compensation comes out of our pockets. When we jump around celebrating some individual African winning this or that very minor monetary award, given the magnitude of the damage to our families and communities, not to mention the considerable profits going to lawyers from other communities, we forget that the money for these awards almost exclusively comes from our local tax dollars. These awards do not come out of the pay of those who committed the illegal acts. They come out of the tax dollars of the residents who live in the communities of those whom the acts were committed against. We are the ones who live in and provide the majority of tax base in those metropolitan areas in which we are disproportionately violated. Therefore, the millions of dollars paid out in justified lawsuits for violations others commit against us are paid by us. We continue to finance our own destruction. In addition, there is no evidence that the individuals committing these violent acts against us are in any way negatively impacted. A family rewards its members when they serve and protect them from others they perceive are threats. So these criminals are applauded and rewarded by the community for their efforts to keep us at bay. Affirm, I am no fool. Affirm, I am no fool. Yeah, all those police brutality, all the millions of dollars paid out because of police brutality across this country, millions of dollars, in the tens of millions, I'll put it that way, in major cities across this country, and some even other areas, are paid through the tax dollars. And those individuals are protected by the jobs that they hold, which are paid by the citizens. We pay them a salary to protect and serve, yeah. And then they abuse us or brutalize us, and then we sue them, and it's just, and we win an award, and that's paid for. They don't suffer. They may be fired, and some of them go on to another department. just like the dude that shot and killed Tamir Rice. He was fired from another department. He got on that job in Cleveland. I mean, he got on that job in Cleveland, and you seen the video. He pulls up on that playground with 12-year-old Tamir Rice playing, and he jumped out the car and just shot him. No warning, no nothing, just got out the damn car and shot him. And you seen all the other videos. The first time we have an opportunity to see a video of us being brutalized was Rodney King. A man had a camcorder. He didn't have a phone like now. We see it all the time now because everybody's got a camera in their pocket. It was Rodney King. And they just gave him a severe beat down. Rodney, can't we all just get along, King? Well, the brother's an ancestor too now. It's a damn shame. November 25th. Black men will kill each other because they have not yet chosen to challenge and neutralize on every front the widespread power of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege to rule over their lives. Dr. Amos Wilson. Release is necessary and functional for human beings. However, as a people subject to European cultures, some of our males have adopted a bully mentality that leads them to seek out those most vulnerable to their anger when the real aggressor cannot be successfully confronted. Let me break right here. You know, that's a real reality. I remember my mama would just come home and kick our ass because she knows she couldn't kick. My mama did. I love my mom. I miss her. She did day work. And I know quite sometimes that them Europeans, those Caucasians, those crackers would frustrate her. And she would probably come home and just, it's real. Even given this violence, misogynistic cultural framework, violence by African men against African women goes beyond the obvious acting out of Western gender antagonism. Here, power and race are the major players. Since we're all responsible for and accountable to our sisters, we should all be ashamed, and we should. We should be embarrassed, humiliated the way we treat our sisters and allow them to be treated by this system and allow them, because they do things to themselves because of our lack of response. Elijah Muhammad said, where you find some no good women is the result of some no good men. It is our responsibility as men. Conceptually, African men who physically and mentally abuse the African woman who love them, and they do love us, without question, are no different from African men who kill each other for fun and or for profit. Perceived powerlessness, the historical awareness that the European will kill you for nothing, the weight of oppression and systematic genocide, along with its resilient rage, place African men in the position of being blind males with guns. The problem and solution are right before our eyes. We have proposed and undertaken every possible way to address and reduce the stress of young African males, except teaching them to challenge and neutralize on every front the widespread power of European Caucasians to rule over their lives. Affirm, I will work to correct our shame. Affirm, I will work to correct our shame. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And I can't wait to get to book two. That's going to be dynamic. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And I've talked about this on this program a number of times. I remember, once again, you know, great recollections of the firehouse. I like I said before, I did some reading at the firehouse, you know, because I had that time. And even though I didn't read the newspaper outside of the firehouse too much, because just I didn't buy it. I mean, I didn't subscribe to the local paper. And at that time, at that time, there were two editions. There were morning editions, the Sentinel, and the evening edition, the Journal. And then they merged the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which had just became a morning paper. They discontinued the evening paper. And at that time, when I read this, it was the evening paper, the Journal, which had an insert. It was called the green sheet, where you had the comics and the astrologies and ass whoever, you know, Ann Landers or whoever. But there was an article on the real Thanksgiving. You know, some things that you can do in your life, and with if you don't have Alzheimer's or early onset, or if you're, you know, starting to experience that, believe me, you remember things like it was yesterday. I remember reading that article, like I've mentioned many other articles I've read at the fire station, at the firehouse, at the dinner table, whatever, or sitting outside. But I remember reading that article about the real Thanksgiving, about what the indigenous people suffered at the hands of Europeans, the Pequot, the Wampanoag, and the many other nations. I don't call them tribes, nations. And how they knew that there was a festival that the native people would engage in. And so they plotted their attack, the Europeans, the Caucasians, these murderers, and they vamped on that community and killed all of the people, the men, women, and children. And then when they went back the next day, the governor, whoever else, whatever, said, we're going to have a prayer of Thanksgiving. A prayer of Thanksgiving. I know that the image, because I mentioned that the other day about when I was a kid, how in the schools, and I'm quite sure it wasn't just in an elementary, in the middle, I'm quite sure it was high school, and even in college they were pushing and promoting this idea of indigenous people working with the imposers, the colonizers, those who had come in to take advantage of or establish themselves here in this land. And what they brought was death. The smallpox, if you read about that or seen that, it was death. I got some, Shaka Musa, Bereshango, and African people and European holidays and mental genocide. I got a piece. I'm going to play this piece about 14 minutes. We're going to play this piece. And after that, I have a couple of pieces from Marimba Ani, the Misgivings, and love Mama Marimba for what she has done. And she had a new piece to it, so I'm anxious to share that with you. And of course, then we'll open up the conversation. So please, if you're on now, hang on, we'll get to it. And the number to call us, 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832.
Children of the Pequot tribe had gathered for their annual Green Corn Festival, which is our Thanksgiving celebration. In the pre-dawn hours, the sleeping Indians were surrounded by the English and Dutch mercenaries, who ordered them to come outside. Those who came out were shot or clubbed to death, while terrified women and children who huddled inside the longhouse were burned alive. The next day, the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony declared a day of Thanksgiving because 700 unarmed men, women, and children had been murdered. Cheered by their victory, the brave colonists and their Indian allies attacked village after village. Women and children over 14 were sold into slavery, while the rest were murdered. Boats loaded with as many as 500 slaves regularly left the ports of New England. Bounties were paid for Indian scalps to encourage as many deaths as possible. Following an especially successful raid against the quote, in what is now Stamford, Connecticut, the churches announced a second day of Thanksgiving to celebrate a victory over the heathen savages. During the feasting, the hacked-off heads of the natives were kicked through the streets like soccer balls.
So we should not be celebrating these holidays, especially Thanksgiving, as Thanksgiving is a celebration of the victory over our African and Native American ancestors. Yes, you heard right. So no African should be celebrating Thanksgiving on the same day that the European celebrates Thanksgiving. No so-called African American or Black American should be celebrating Thanksgiving on the same day that the European celebrates Thanksgiving. Native Americans damn sure shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving on the same day that the white man celebrates Thanksgiving.
A lot of Africans are going to bankrupt yourselves during this process now. I've read someplace where people on average would spend from $1 to $2,000 just on the holidays alone. And that so another place I read that somebody, people would spend a quarter of their income. It's a false, a hollow holiday that's been created for the purpose of, one, stealing your money. That's one of the reasons that the holiday is there. But another thing is that it helps to consolidate the identity of people in this country and in the white world. Things, it helps to consolidate your identity with the white world because it is a holiday that's among all the other kinds of holidays that white people experience and share and celebrate. It is one of those holidays that constitutes the national identity of white people. In the absence of having your own philosophy, your own identity, or even being able to know who the hell you are, then you end up celebrating your oppression. You end up celebrating your own bad treatment. That's a problem.
The white man is celebrating his destruction of you. He's celebrating his ascent while at the same time celebrating your descent. All right? He's celebrating the building of his civilization while at the same time celebrating the destruction of black civilization, as Dr. Chancellor Williams says.
But never in the history of the world have I ever heard of a people celebrating the victory of their enemies over them. Do you get my point here? They may remember that, but they will not celebrate it. The only people I know now presently in the world is the Negro and other people who are mentally subjugated by white supremacists. Culture around the world that celebrate their enemies' defeat of them. So when we study European holidays, we have to ask, whose victory are we celebrating?
We want to get along with the white man at the expense of our loved ones, at the expense of our own family, our own children. We'll get along with the white man by any means necessary, even if that means us participating in our own destruction, celebrating our own destruction. Does that really make sense to you? Why are you getting so emotional? Don't you think I have the right to be emotional? Not that it's the emotion that is causing me to say what I'm saying. What I'm saying is really quite logical. And you consider yourself educated. You should understand what I'm saying. But because you have this emotional attachment to
your bitter enemy. And no, we're not just saying that that is your bitter enemy. We keep bringing facts, historical facts, ancient historical facts, and recent historical facts to you. And you say, and you'll continue to say, well, see, that's just an isolated incident. We can't deal with them based on that one isolated incident. It's because you keep forgetting. Look, if you want to be a good Christian, a good Muslim, or one of these other religious folks, look, I'm not going to make fun of your religion right now. If you want to be morally good, as you would call it, and you want to forgive the white man for his many crimes, not just against humanity, but against nature itself, against life itself, go ahead and forgive the white man. But for you to say that it's wise for us to forget is for you to be a goddamn fool. If I break in your car one time, then you're gonna exercise all types of security measures to prevent me from doing it again. But when it comes to the white man, you are forgiving. And not only forgiving, you are forgetful. And he continues to do the same thing, really day in and day out. But you don't find out about it until 5 or 6 years later, 10 years later. And then by the time you find out about what he did 10 years ago, he had another decade of crimes that you're not going to find out about until 10 years in the future. But no matter how many crimes he perpetrates against our people, you'll tell us, your people, those that really love you and care about you, come on, man, you're being ridiculous. Any time that we forget about that stuff. And that brings me to another topic. When we say Black Holocaust, because you ain't studied no history, you assume that we're talking about slavery that you claim was over in 1865. But we're not talking about no slavery that ended 150 years ago. We're talking about slavery that is still happening today. Just the fact that you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving in 2014 on the same day that the destroyers of your people celebrate Thanksgiving is telling you that you're still a slave. Because the slave celebrated when the slave master celebrated. Because that was the only day that the slave master gave off. So of course the slave celebrated on the day that the slave master gave them off. But you're supposed to be free, right? Slavery was in the past, right? Well, why don't you give thanks to your creator or your God or nature or whatever you're giving thanks to on a day that you choose? Instead, you still celebrate the white man's victory over our ancestors when the white man celebrates. And then you have the nerve to say that you're not a slave. You have the nerve to say that we're being unreasonable, that we are being emotional. No, you are being emotional. Because you refuse to give up your emotional attachment to the enemy of not only the black man, black woman, the indigenous people of the planet Earth. You refuse to give up your emotional attachment to the enemy of nature and life itself. You need to think about that.
The second premise, the celebration of holidays establishes and helps to maintain a strong emotional and cultural bond between you and that which you are celebrating. A strong emotional and cultural bond. between you and that which you are celebrating. Anything that you jump up and down and sing about and dance about long enough becomes very much a part of your being, and you feel something for that because it brought you joy at the time that you were doing it. So you have an emotional and a cultural bond and connection with it. The question arises, when we celebrate European holidays, what are we binding ourselves to?
Join us. If not this year, then next year. Build up, work your way up to it. But don't just make up in your mind that you're going to continue to celebrate the white man's victory over the indigenous people of the earth. Don't settle on that. Make up in your mind today that while you're celebrating Thanksgiving, the murder of our ancestors, the murder of our African ancestors, the murder of our Native American ancestors, while you're celebrating Thanksgiving on the day that the white man sets aside to celebrate the murder of our ancestors, be thinking of a way that sometime in the future you'll have a paradigm shift. And you will begin to give thanks on any other day but the day that the white man celebrates his defeat of our ancestors. This has been Daku Akabo Akatu.
Even the friendly Wampanoag did not escape the madness. Their chief was beheaded and his head impaled on a pole in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where it remained on display for 24 years. The killings became more and more frenzied, with days of Thanksgiving feasts being held after each successful massacre. George Washington finally suggested that only one day of Thanksgiving per year be set aside of celebrating each and every massacre. Later, Abraham Lincoln decreed Thanksgiving Day to be a national legal holiday during the Civil War. On the same day, he ordered troops to march against the starving Sioux in Minnesota.
I'm quoting in that prolific historian and writer, Professor Joel A. Rogers here. And he says that the early American whites were cruel. Connecticut whites massacred the Pequot Indians. Infants were torn from their mother's breast and hacked to pieces. The heads of the parents were chopped off and kicked about in the streets, maybe where the Thanksgiving Thursday football game comes from. Governor Bradford wrote, "It was a fearful sight to see them frying in the fire, and streams of blood quenching the same, and terrible was the stench and the stink thereof. But the victory seemed a sweet sacrifice, and they, the whites, gave praise thereof to God." I don't think I need to say any more about Thanksgiving Day now. That was enough for me.
Shaka, my good brother. We have the same birthday, Barishango. We have the same birthday. Yeah. You know, what's interesting, of course, is I understand where our brothers and sisters are saying, well, Brother Oshi, man, you know, that was, it means something different. Christmas means something different. Easter means something different. Da 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 da. No, it doesn't. But I understand you wanting to have the experience of your family coming together, although this is the age of COVID, and that definitely could definitely be an impossibility or really a serious risk. You know, so it means family to us coming together and each of us saying what we are thankful for. You know, I remember a few years ago, and my daughter here invites me to her friends' homes for these holidays, and I've been very blessed and I'm thankful for that. But as I was sitting down listening to what was happening and watching what was happening to the indigenous people during the Dakota Access Pipeline and how they wanted to run that pipeline through Bismarck and the people in that city said, no, you ain't running no damn pipeline through here, possibly messing up our land and messing up our water source and so forth and so on. And they said, okay, cool. We'll just go ahead and do it in the indigenous people's land, in their ancestral land, in their water. And they did it. And then when those people protested, coming against what was happening, it was around Thanksgiving, around that time. And nothing was said on television, on the major news networks. Not a damn thing. Only place that I remember reading it was online, on Facebook, and in emails that people would send talking about what was happening to the indigenous people, you know, and then some coalition. And many of the nations came together to protest until finally Barack said something and did something. And of course, one of the administrators of the pipeline, he said, just wait till Donald Trump gets elected president, because it was 2016. He said, wait till he gets president, because he was an investor. Trump was an investor in the pipeline. And of course, they sprayed water cannon on them, rubber bullets. I remember some ceremonies where some Caucasians came to make peace. And I remember once some veterans came there and marched with the indigenous people. A couple of noted individuals, so-called movie stars, marched with them, knowing and seeing what they were going through. But they did it anyway. Because to Caucasians, there's no respect for anybody outside themselves. And so, as being the elder of the group, when my daughter and her friends come together, they always ask me to say prayer or meditation. And I had to mention that, just like, you know, tomorrow, if I do a prayer or say something, I'm going to mention our ancestors. Because that's, if you want to really be thankful for what you're receiving and the company and the food. And I know that's a, you know, but remember whose shoulders you stand on. Remember, that's like, I love Fannie Lou Hamer's quote. I know, not the, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got that. No, I love her quote. Never forget where you came from. And always praise the bridges that carried you over. I'll never forget our ancestors. From those great ancestors of antiquity to the ancestors who were captive, the ancestors who suffered the indignities of trying to just be a man or be a woman, the children who were just playing and then were hung, mutilated, or raped. I will always remember where I came from, and I praise those bridges that carried us over. Yeah, brothers and sisters, I know what you're saying. Brother Oshie, man, it's holiday, be a chance to bring our people together, families. Yeah, I know. Do that. But remember your family. Remember all those men and women who have gone on. Remember, you know, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, we're going to get off into a piece my dear friend Mama Marimba Ani put out on Misgivings. Beautiful piece. I'm going to read that. And then I invite you to join us in conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media. part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Just a foolish dreamer, but I don't care, 'cause I know my happiness is waiting out there somewhere. I'm searching for that silver lining, horizons that I've never seen. Stars at night, I'd like to know the taste of honey in my life, in my life. Well, I've shed so many pains, and I've played so many games. Fly far away from here.
get away? Can I get away from you?
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Sorry. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Brother Wahad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central, Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, it's a new program. I got to get the name of it, something melanin within it. So on Thursdays from 7 to 9. And then on Friday from 8 until it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Got a caller. Let's see if this caller wants to get in. Caller, 414-429. 414-429. Good afternoon or good morning to you still in Milwaukee. Good afternoon or good morning. Hello? Okay, just listening. That's all good. Okay. Mama Marimba put this piece together some years ago, and I've read it on this time, on the Wednesday today before Thanksgiving, for at least the last 3 or so years, and this is updated. She has another piece to it that I'm going to read to you. At the beginning of the page, she states, be careful whose ancestors you honor by the days you make holy and the holidays you observe. Be careful. The ideological and political significance of the African worldview, the African cultural and social order, the African paradigm, the African construction of reality, and the African belief system. Be careful. An African understanding of the spiritual universe generates the concept of African collective immortality. What that means is that our ancestors live forever if we honor them, raise them up, and remember them. In doing so, we assure ourselves of eternal life. This is the only way. Collectively, our ancestors strengthen us as we commune with them. But they can only do that if we, in turn, keep them strong. The relationship between us and our ancestors is reciprocal. We keep them alive by identifying as African. They have given us life. We keep them alive by knowing that we are them and that African only can only be reborn in and through us. Our spirit is connected to those who have come before us and those who will come after us. That process happens in beyond time, in sacred time. But there is a way that our ancestors can be killed. We have that power, the power to self-destruct. And if they die, we die. Our culture disappears. Africa is no more. The only way that they can die is if we honor the enemy's ancestors, those who organized for our destruction. By choosing to dishonor ourselves in this way, we forget who we are and why we are here. We break the cycle. We break the circle. The sacred cycle of African life ceases to be, and we can no longer experience collective immortality. Being African means that you have the responsibility to give us, all Africans, the continuity of life, or you can disrupt it. The purpose of the Ma'afa is the destruction of African and African humanity. The continuation of the Ma'afa process is dependent upon our addictive worship of the predecessors of the European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. When we honor their family and their antecedents, we honor them. When we have become addicted to the commemoration of horror, the Yorugu holidays give us false pleasure, thereby supporting the falsification of our collective consciousness. That has become our comfort zone. We justify this pathological, menticidal, genocidal behavior by talking about family closeness, but the Ma'afa rests on the opposite, the destruction of the African family. We have the power to turn this around, to reverse this Ma'afa process. We can begin to destroy destruction. Together, we can get rid of our cultural, political addictions, of our dependency on the enemy. We can break his hold on our minds. Through discipline and the repetition of African ma'at behaviors, we can abandon the anti-African behavior patterns that are reinforced by the Ma'afa natural pathways, bad habits. We can do this by fighting and building together and by committing our lives to African world sovereignty. If we listen to Nana Clark, he will show us how we can win. Nana Bobby Wright tells us how to destroy destruction. Nana Frances Cress Welsing teaches us how the enemy thinks. what his power base is, and how we can put our children first in our lives. How we can put them. Okay. Tata Fudechuyu explains how to build a strong African social order. Nana Amos Wilson demonstrates how to organize for Black power. Baba Kobe Kamban has laid out a plan for the reconstruction of African life in psycho rituals and for the development of an African-centered development space. He has given us a calendar of African sacred days during which we honor our warrior ancestors, the African personality in America. Chapter 8 of his book. Nana Marcus Garvey exalts us to organize for world African sovereignty, affirming that this should be our highest idea. And there are many others who have shown us the way. Let us rise. Let us raise them up. Let us raise them up, thereby guaranteeing ourselves and our children and our children's children and our children's children eternal life. Ashe. Ashe. Misgivings. An African-centered, indigenous-centered view. By Mama Remba Ani. A group of European scavengers, many of whom have been imprisoned or homeless in England, arrived in New England in 1620. They first lived on Turtle Island. Half of them died within the first few months. Squanto, of the Pequot people, who had been captured by the Europeans and taken to England, spoke English and formed a close relationship with those pitiful migrants. He taught them how to grow corn and to fish, how to prepare certain foods and other survival skills. The European people saw Quanto as an instrument of their God to help his chosen people. Let me say that again. They saw Quanto as an instrument of their God to help his chosen people. In other words, they used him. To him, he as his people were heathens and savages. The worldview of the indigenous people, much like an African worldview, taught them to give freely to those who had nothing. Squanto is said to have negotiated a false treaty between the nearby Wakanabo people and the so-called pilgrims. The leader of the Wakanabo nation, Mesiokat, can't pronounce his name, donated food stores to the struggling colony of Europeans. In 1621, next year, 400 years. To some degree, it's 400 years this year. In fact, it's 1620 when they landed. It's 400 years. 400 years. Remember, we arrived here in 1619. 400 years. In 1621, having survived a hard winter due to the help of the Wampanoag, the Europeans celebrated as with their custom to have thanksgiving to their God. No Wakanabo members or any other, indigenous nations were invited. And yet they came and supplied most of the food. In return for helping them to survive, the so-called pilgrims decimated the Wampanoag people with disease, treachery, and slaughter. In the years which followed, by 1637, as the Europeans were feeling successful and powerful and in control of their newly conquered territory, and the expedition was sent to Connecticut near Groton, over 700 indigenous people, the Pequots, were celebrating their yearly annual harvest, the Green Corn Festival, which you heard earlier on the piece by Dr. Bear Shango, when they were taken by surprise by Caucasian invaders, their men were shot and clubbed to death while their women and children were burned alive. Winthrop, the first governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, saying that they had should thank God for their destroying the savages to make way for a better growth. Quoted in the work of Cotton Mather, which followed Constitution, which follows constituents one of the most vicious records of continuing massacres of the indigenous people of this land known as America. It became the custom of Caucasians to follow each massacre with a so-called Thanksgiving. Rewards would be given to those who returned with the skulls of indigenous people to encourage their slaughter. Also, the scalps. It was Caucasians who, you know, when I was coming up, it was believed that it was the indigenous people that were scalping. No, it was the Caucasian who taught them that and who encouraged that. And when one nation went after against another, Europeans would pay them to bring scalps to them like they did the other Europeans. Rewards should be given to those who return with the skulls of indigenous persons to encourage their slaughter. In 1863, it was decided to celebrate only one day of Thanksgiving, proclaimed by Lincoln as a later period. The fourth Thursday of November was chosen by the capitalists to maximize the shopping days until Christmas. I believe that was FDR. In 1970, at the 350th anniversary of the landing of the so-called Pilgrims, a leader of indigenous people prepared a speech in which he told the truth of the history of Plymouth and berated those Caucasian people for robbing the graves of the Wampanoag. The officials of Massachusetts did not allow him to make the speech. Every year since then, indigenous people of this land have looked upon the fourth Thursday of November as a day of mourning, a day of sorrow, a day of misgiving. We African people in America are victims of the same process that resulted in the murder of millions of indigenous people and the decimation of their nations. America was built by stolen labor on stolen land. That's the legacy of the European in this country. Taking without thanks and taking without giving is exploitation. Change is not easy. We are used to celebrating with family on that day. It is always good to come together and to share a meal with each other. But we do have alternatives, and we always need to be in the process of growth. Growth makes change necessary. We can change a little at a time, remembering that our goal, brothers and sisters, is sovereignty. World African sovereignty. That's the bottom line. That is the end game for African people. Not integration, not subduing and coming. No, it is sovereignty. Number one, when you are with your family on Thursday, November 26, 2020, take a moment to remember and talk about the true meaning of this holy day. Number two, we don't have to contribute to the profit-making mania organized by the larger conglomerates, encouraging us to spend money that we don't have during the weekend following that day. Don't shop. Number three, make the sacrifice of fasting that day. Yes, it would be a challenge, but you can still enjoy your family and at the same time identify with those who were exploited, murdered, raped, or their resources as we have been. This is not a cause for celebration. Number four, let us choose a day on which the Pan-African world nation gives thanks together for the gift of African ancestry and the sacrifices that have been made for us by our ancestors. We must start small with Africans that we know. It is a process. Let us begin now. In African victory and sovereignty, Mama Marimba Ani, my good friend, thank you so much. I'm gonna remember. It is our responsibility to do all that we can to celebrate ourselves in the right frame of celebration. It's not tomorrow. I know that we'll come together to have some great food and good camaraderie, and I hope that it is done safely, particularly in your home. I hope that if you can, and if the weather permits, be outdoors. If you can, open some windows. If you can. If you can, wear a mask, you know, all the while, and then take it off, of course, when you eat. I'm just constantly saying about the safeness of it, but more importantly, the coming together of it. I understand, as I said earlier in the first half of the program, that, I when I've done this many times, oh, Brother Oshie, you know, it don't mean that same. But in essence, it does, because that is the root of it. It means that this is a celebration of Thanksgiving for Caucasians, for being here on this stolen land. And built by stolen labor. It means that. Now, you want to say it means something different. I understand what you're trying to say. I understand. We got a caller. Let me get to this caller. Caller 646, good afternoon.
Adios, what's happening, my good brother? I hope it won't be no turkey for you, my brother, because I would never want to think of you as being a gobbler turkey man.
No, man, I'm going to go ahead and be with my family. We got my ex and my other daughter and my grandson moved here, so my grandson could go to school here and play ball and so forth. So we're kind of just the six of us are getting together. So it's a little family get together, and that's cool, you know.
Well, I tell you, Osh, this holiday alone just shows you what the white man is.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing more, nothing less. I mean, how do you celebrate a barbaric act? I mean, what is the rationale in even thinking that you could push that on the people? I mean, it just amazes me, man, how we justify this type of madness and we go along with it, man. I myself haven't celebrated it for years. I mean, I find this and every other pagan holiday to just be a money grab for white folks.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing more, nothing less. I mean, how do you celebrate a barbaric act?
No, I agree. I agree. You know,
it's no rationale in it, you know, to try to justify what was done to a people so that you could deem it as a reason to get together with Negroes who most of the time you don't even like. So, I mean, the only thing I ever enjoyed about it was an uncle of mine who was a complete fool. Every time he got drunk, he would put on one hell of a performance. That's what I looked forward to when I was coming up celebrating it. I mean, because he was a buck dancing Negro if there ever was one. Once he got some Jesus juice, he would put on performances. It would be, you know, it would be time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad one year that two cousins of mine set him up, man. They timed it. And they gave him the drink.
Did they video it?
One of them said something stupid. And it was just a show. And the funny thing is, those Negroes were so treacherous, they got it on tape. You know how you had the camcorders just started?
Yeah.
Well, one of them had them a camcorder. And they recorded that fool in action. And, you know, every now and then, they'll show the tape. A couple of days after his funeral, we got together and they showed the tape. I thought it was madness.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, too bad he's gone, but it is what it is. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, why do we as a people even celebrate these holidays? Why do we as a people even participate in something that is not life-giving, in all honesty, but is just a pretense for us?
Well, you know, the reason why is because of the machine that the European has for advertisement and putting the spin on things that they want to project and or to promote or to advertise. You know, that's why it's important for them, you know, to not talk about the real origins of what it is, of all these holidays, because every damn one of them comes out of a violent situation that they celebrate their victory. And of course, we do it because we're here and it's been pushed on us. Just like I said the other day, as a child, I remember being in school and making either a headdress as an indigenous person or a hat like a pilgrim, you know, and then still feeding that story. I'm gonna catch another call, Brother Jay. You stay with me, okay? I'm gonna catch another call. Yep. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is Sister Haiba calling.
Oh, hey, my sister. How you doing? Thank you.
I'm blessed, good. And I just want to say that I love your show.
Appreciate that.
I think it is great work that you're doing for our people, you know, and it holds true to the title of it, Enlightening, and I just give thanks.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening. You've been listening for quite a while.
Revolutionary words.
Yes.
Now, for this this abomination, Thanksgiving, Misgiving.
Yes.
You know, I rebuke that whole fake holiday, you know, so, and I'm standing in solidarity with the indigenous people.
Ashe.
You know, and because we fast that day. I mean, I taught my children not to celebrate that.
Okay.
Since the age of 20. Mm. We, you know, just for all the great reasons that have already been put forth with Mama, what Mama was saying for us, and with Dr. Benshango,
yes,
you know, I mean, they put forth Mama Mirambani, and they put forth, you know, the hypocrisy of it all,
sure.
You know, the treachery of it all. So, you know, I stand not to participate, and I you know, those that will listen, you know, I enlighten them and share what, you know, and then we also have alternative things we can do. Like they said, we could be working for sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can be building African things today.
Sure, sure.
And so we have options, you know. So, and that's, you know, and I mean, and we can build our own holidays. Like we said,
we should.
And trying to set up, we like what was put forth earlier today, let's build our own, mm-hmm. you know, we build our days to thanks for our African people and our family.
Well, you know, so, that's why I push Kwanzaa so hard when the Kwanzaa season comes around, because, you know, even, you know, and trying to help our people understand, it is not a religious holiday. It's shown the hell ain't a commercial holiday. It is a cultural holiday. It helps us reaffirm who we are. It is. Helps, and it gives us some principles, some things that will guide us to get us up out of this damn madness.
Right, you know, that's right.
You know,
that's
so, yeah,
I celebrate that and raise mm-hmm. that up. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, okay, so I just with that, you know, the path is pathological, menicidal.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed listening to what Mama Miranda said. And,
yes.
And, you know,
well, yes,
and I
we love her.
With that.
No doubt. And,
all
you know,
right, well, you stay blessed now, well, my brother. And I enjoy your show. I love it.
Okay, well, continue to listen. I appreciate it. All right,
yeah,
my
well,
sister.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, bringing the word and, you know, being so powerful with it.
I try my best, dear. You know that. And
humble
as I can.
We feel that.
All right,
we give thanks. Okay, peace and love. Bye-bye.
All right. 414-414-554. Good afternoon.
Hello, my good brother. How are you doing today?
Oh, man, Doc Rogers, brothers and sisters. Doc Rogers, the Black Reality Think Tank. How you doing, brother?
Sir, thank you.
Good program last night.
Man. Wonderful discussion.
Yeah, good.
Wonderful discussion.
Thank you.
Tell Brother Jay he had me cracking up about,
I know.
About that uncle.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. He had one, too.
Yeah.
But listen, you know, one thing I wanted to say, I didn't get a chance to say yesterday, but I'll say it with you. Is that I think as we deconstruct this holiday and all these holidays, European holidays, I think that one thing we got to remember is during those years of captivity, physical captivity in America, our ancestors looked for opportunities where they could just breathe, release, and let themselves go from all of that misery and pain and destruction that was waged upon them by those Europeans. And so a lot of these holiday opportunities, and even when you look at Sunday, all of those were times that our people got chance to go and sit down and talk to each other. And trust me, they didn't eat turkey when they're in those days. They ate possum. They fed them possum, which even dogs won't eat. But they fed them garbage. But nevertheless, they got a chance to breathe and have a meal that they would not have had during the year weeks that they were doing in the days that they were out there on those cotton fields, tobacco fields, sugar plantations, and trying to do stuff. So, you know, I wanted to mention that yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to. But that is really something I thought we might want to think about. So I'm not so quick to knock how they were celebrated. And you're right. A lot of them got some of that juice. Some of that old alcohol juice and drink.
That cone liquor.
And you know, an excellent example of that, and then I'm going to finish, is a poem by Paul Lawrence Dunbar called The Party.
Okay.
And it's a poem that he wrote about a Christmas party on a plantation back in the 1800s. And he talks about some of just what we're saying now. And so keep on with it, man. I love it.
I hope I can remember that. I'm going to jot that down, see if I can pull that for the time.
Yeah, it's called
that,
The Party.
Yep, write that down, The Party.
And he wrote it in
Paul
the dialect.
Paul Dunbar. Oh, he wrote it in the dialect, too. That's going to be tough to read.
Right, yeah, it's hard to read. Yeah. Yeah, he wrote that. But he described Brother Jay's uncle in there. You know, he said everybody used to laugh at him. It was a release from that pain, man. You know, you got to find ways to release that.
Right. Well, see, that's why
if they hadn't released it, wouldn't be on here talking right now.
Well, see, that's why, Doc, I say what I say, because there's in that, even tomorrow in that, you know, focus on your family. Focus on your ancestors. Focus on the things that you truly are, you know, thankful for and appreciate in your life as you celebrate with your family, or as you commemorate, or as you come together with your family, put it that way, whatever word you want to use, you know, because it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen. You know, us saying don't do it when we're bombarded 24/7, you know, in it, it's going to happen. But how do you do it? Yes, I would love for us to depart from that.
Hey, Doc Rogers. Excuse me, O.C.
Hey, my good brother. Hey, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, Elder? Hey, listen, I just wanted to tell you, you know, he reminded me most of the time of George Jefferson. And with that alcohol in him, that's who he really was. But you know something? He was a wise man. He taught you things that, unfortunately, we don't teach our kids today. He knew who the white man was.
And yeah, he did. That's true, Jay. That's true. You're right.
Once he got that brown liquor in him, man, the man would say some things that would blow your mind. But the funniest thing about him was when he would talk about my aunt and his wife. Oh, man, it just was classic, man. But he was a really good guy, a hardworking guy. And the thing that he showed you an example of what it was to be a man. You know, he stayed with his wife till he died, which was over 45 years. You know, we don't have those type of relationships today. And men don't behave like that today because, we don't, it's like you being in the room with the family, Dr. Rogers, and you know, now they don't listen to you like they used to.
For some reason, we
think that when you get a certain age, you're stupid or you're dumb. And that's the person you're supposed to gra- to the level of manhood that you want to be. Because even though I laugh and joke about him, I remember some of the key things that he said to me over the years. You know what I mean?
Sir. About me, yes, sir.
About life, about how to treat people. You know, he was a component that let it be known. I don't play with white people.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I let them know what the deal is. And I'm always ready to defend myself with them at the drop of the hat. And, you know, to be honest with you, Dr. Rogers, you don't have men like that no more. You don't have too many men 50 and 60 and 70 years old that espouse that type of wisdom. For what reason?
Exactly,
I don't
right.
know. It may be because they're broken. But the reality is, he was as old school as they come.
Why?
Dr. Rogers, I'll cut you two shorts, the sugar on the iced tea. That was his favorite saying. He said you straight up. And he walked around with a straight razor.
Right. And you know what, Brother Jay? You know what? Most of them didn't have high school diplomas. And they were wise like that. That wisdom. And I had an uncle like that. He could fix anything that broke. I don't care what it was, he'd fix it.
And that was just
like you. That's right.
You mean where he worked at? He worked at for 40 years for Bulletproof Watts. That, you know, I'm not sure what street it is on Queens, but they had a big factory there. When you would go to LaGuardia Airport, you would see it. I don't know. I don't think it was Northside Boulevard. I'm not sure what Boulevard it was. But he worked there. He worked there for 40 years. Got him a nice pension, and you know. He lived out his life. You know what I mean? It was a real. He was just funny, man. He was somebody that when he got that liquor in him, he started dropping jewels, man.
Oh man, like I'm telling you.
Oh, you know, because you understand how we were living back then.
That's right.
And listen, he would get drunk, and he would tell you the truth. And then he would start telling you the real truth. It's just like
that's
why I've never been a drinker. Because I drunk one time in my life. I got drunk, and I tell anybody, it was with my daddy. And when you drunk, you say things you ain't supposed to say.
Tell me about it.
You know what I'm saying? And that was the one and only time that I ever got drunk in my life. Because of the simple fact, you know, it caused some issues, but it was something that had to be learned. Because I never understood it until it happened to me. But a drunk man will tell you the truth.
Well, you know that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen this weekend. You know,
Trump, man.
This weekend. Because this weekend is overindulgence.
Brother Oshie, I want to say this one thing, and I'm gonna let go.
Okay, go ahead, Doc.
Just what Jay was saying. I had an uncle just like that too, and we went to a Thanksgiving dinner, and we were sitting around taking. And my wife, you know, I had my family with it, and my wife was light skinned. She was very light skinned. My uncle was drunk as he could be. He looked over there. He said, "Now, who's your white daddy?"
Yeah.
my wife was mad at him for the rest of the night.
That's right.
Hey, but you know, Dr. Rogers. That's the honesty that a man like that, in the back of his mind, always felt. But because of respect in society and the way that things are, he wouldn't say it.
But if he got juiced, he'd say it.
Every damn day.
Yeah, he got juiced, he'd say it.
He knew what the white man was. He knew that the white man was no good, you know, and he tried to educate his kids to deal with life and move forward. Because if you notice now, Dr. Rogers, we're not really educating our kids on the level that we were educated and the way that you educated your kids to do better than what our parents did. If you notice, it's a whole different dynamic going on with our children. And right. I guess it must have happened because of the crack epidemic or whatever it was, the dysfunction of the family, the white man taking the father out of the home and all of that. But it was a whole different thing. I think the generation that was the crack epidemic destroyed, in all honesty, the black family. And nobody's really done a critique on it and a real understanding of what happened to the black family. Because now, if you think about it, we don't even take care of our elders the way that we should.
No, that's right.
No, we don't. We leave them out. In fact, you know, I was talking one time about how disrespectful the generation is to our elders. You see them, nobody wants to hear anything from them. The knowledge and wisdom that many of them possess will not be passed down because they just sit at McDonald's or some restaurant and congregate, like here at the beautiful restaurant over here on Cascade. You know, it's only carry out now, but when a restaurant was functioning as it is, there would be 2 to 3 tables of older gentlemen they would be in there for hours, hours on a daily basis. That was their hangout. They're coming. The same thing in Milwaukee over on 9th and North Avenue at that McDonald's.
That's right.
Doc. Yeah. See, yep. So the youth, they didn't look to them and seek any knowledge, any wisdom and guidance or nothing like that. Well, there was totally distance and disrespect, you know, and that's what continues to happen. And to me, as long as we are divided, as long as we are fragmented, then this system gains and it wins because they understand that us being, I'm sorry, Jay, go ahead.
It used to be like that on 125th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard in front of the Harlem State Office Building. That's where I learned a lot of knowledge from.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
I used to work at the Mark 125. My Jegna, the one who taught me showed me the way, Lloyd Spivey owned the Amin Ron Isis bookstore. And to me, that was my man. Mm-hmm. I miss him to this day. You know, unfortunately, he's with the ancestors. But I always would say to him, "Hey, how you doing?" And he would always say to me, "I can't never be bad knowing what my ancestors went through."
I say.
So everything with me is always, it is what it is. But I remember, like, seeing the scholars out there, talking on the corner, just being around the elders who were there with Pork Chop Davis and Carlos Cooks and
Carlos
all
Cooks.
Them, dropping views about who we were culturally and all that. And now when you go out there, you may see these young so-called scholars like Polite and the rest of them, out there. But it ain't like when the elders was out there. I mean, dropping jewels.
Yeah.
Man. I mean,
right.
Yeah. You were saying, see the elders sitting in the McDonald's. I mean, the McDonald's on 125th Street, the elders used to sit in there, then the Burger King. Mm-hmm. I mean, just places where they would, like you said, get together 10, 11, 12, and tell stories about life. And give direction. We don't have that now, man.
Yeah,
because
right.
I got mine out of the
barbershop. That was the barbershop back in my day.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Dr. Rogers. Think about it, Dr. Rogers. You may be the type that if you were still in New York, you would be in the spot, because you don't want to be in the house with Mama, because Mama may be one of those. Because I know a lot of the older cats would say, "Man, I don't want to be in the house all day with that crazy woman. I don't even know why I quit working," they would always say. "The only reason I quit working was because I was old, and I didn't feel like getting up and listening to that white man no more." And they would say, So that's why I'm in. That's why I'm out all day. The only time you didn't see the elders was when it was too cold or it was raining. But man, I just smile about it because I've learned more from them than I've learned in. I mean, it's just amazing, man. It's mind-boggling, man. When you think about all of the lessons, and now we're not giving it to the young kids today.
Right.
We don't have
right,
because
there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. There's a so-called generational divide, which is crazy. There should be no.
Yeah,
I mean, there should be a constant continuity between us at a very young age, a middle age, and elders. A constant sharing and support of one another because they are us and we are them. You know, I've always relished the fact that I love to work with young people. You know, I loved it when I coached football and. Basketball and so forth. You know, love to work with young people. You remember, Doc, when I was going to those schools back in, you know, my off days.
Oh, yeah,
man.
That was powerhouse. Man.
Yeah.
Powerhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and being able to share that information, I've always told them, I'm going to teach you things that you will not learn in this school. I'm going to teach you about yourself and who you are and what you have done because you've been led to believe you had never done nothing, that you were running around a jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose and nothing could be furthest from the truth. So I'm going to tell you who you are, you know?
And you That's see, right.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
I remember when you used to say that.
Yeah. Yep.
And you see how the school system is getting worse. I mean, in New York City, man, you know, there's a population, and I'm sorry to say this, of black kids that ain't even going to school because of this Zoom learning and all of this nonsense, man. It's sad, man. It's sad, man. I don't know what's gonna happen in a sense to our people. I mean, like I try to say, people that are like mine are gonna have to go someplace and create our own space to be able to live out our years if we can't go back home. Because these metropolitan areas are getting worse.
Worse, man.
They're getting dangerous. They're getting dangerous.
Real dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, because we don't control nothing. You know, just like I said, we don't control anything. And then when I think about those elders who are sitting down in these restaurants and people just walk, young people walk past them and, you know, ignore them. And yet all that information, all that wisdom, if a young person could have the chance to sit down and talk to them, maybe that young person could be inspired to have a career in something that he had done and maybe be a Jegna to him and go ahead and prepare him for the future. But there's a disconnect, and that is by design.
It's a real disconnect.
Yeah.
The future is bright, but the future is also bleak for a very large segment of our people because, you know, the reason really is we don't control anything. We don't have anything that we could say that's ours to pass on to the children and use it as a tool to motivate them to do of a thing. I mean, if you think about every other ethnic group, they have a community. We the only ones who don't have a community. How can they talk about is a black community? Get out of here. That's a joke. We don't own nothing. The biggest black-owned business in Harlem, I think, I'm not sure, I may be wrong, is probably Sylvia's Restaurant. That's 100% black owned. And I don't even know if that's black owned now. I don't even know if Harlem is black owned. But there's no.
What about that? Hey, what about that building in Perm Daddy be having his
on Saturday? He don't own that building, man. He rent that building. And what's so funny is, the businesses next door to him, they tore them all down to now build some sort of apartment building, I think, to whereas I don't understand, but the only reason probably is because it's above from a train station. But the bottom line is they ain't even able to rent these places out now. I mean, black people in Harlem, in this community, is facing evictions left and right.
I bet they are with that high rent. Mm. Yeah, you're talking $2,000 a month,
$3,000. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, man. And you know what the crazy thing is, Dr. Rogers? You remember back in the day where they had the Muslim businesses, the steak and steak, the cleaners.
Oh, man, I love the steak and steak.
They don't even have that now. You know what I mean? The only black-owned businesses that black people in Harlem have are maybe a couple of restaurants. And I think
A funeral home?
Maybe a funeral home.
Yeah.
Maybe a funeral home or two.
Yeah.
But as far as the dry cleaners.
And the barbershop.
One dry cleaner.
The barbershop.
I don't even think we own laundromats.
Yeah.
We don't own the grocery stores or the bodegas.
Right.
We don't even own the fish market. Really sad. And people talk about and praise that no good stinking Charlie Rangel, who basically was the reason why black folks don't own anything, because he sold out to the corporate elite. But nobody wanted to talk about that.
You know,
David Dinkins and all them. You know, all of them became nothing but puppets for white people and became pretty rich, so that now they're able to leave their kids something and their grandkids a little something. But if you tell the truth, Harlem is a joke. Harlem is a joke. And I've lived in Harlem for over 50-some years. And I'm telling you now that the only reason Harlem hasn't turned totally white, Dr. Rogers, is because of the projects. If it wasn't for the projects,
can't get rid of them.
Did you live in Harlem too, didn't you, Doc? You lived in Harlem, didn't you?
Yeah, I lived in Manhattan. I lived on 120th Street and 8th Avenue, right five blocks from the Apollo. Right there by
I'm telling you, Dr. Rogers, they're on 125th Street. I don't even think there's a major black-owned business on 125th Street.
That's Malcolm X, ain't it? Is Malcolm X Lenox Avenue? Is that what Malcolm X? Okay.
Yeah, Malcolm X is Lenox Avenue. And I'm trying to say that, like I said, I think Sylvia is the biggest black-owned business in Harlem. And then they have other little restaurants that are basically holding on by a thread. So they'll be gone soon. Like I said, it's sad, man.
That's terrible.
But the good thing is, we can reclaim it, but we're not going to reclaim it because white folks ain't going to let you reclaim it, but they ain't also going to give it up. Because, like I said, if the project wasn't all over Harlem, black people wouldn't even be able to live in Harlem no more.
Yeah,
well, listen,
right.
man,
yeah,
I got.
They're not gonna live in the project. Yeah. They're definitely not moving into the.
Well,
project.
Listen, brothers, I'm up against the clock. I appreciate it.
Oh man,
it.
That was wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Time flies when we're at. Yeah.
Dr. Rogers, it's good talking to you again.
Same to you, my brother. Thank you so much.
And man, we're gonna have to talk offline soon. All right. A happy Miss Holidays, please be safe, Elder. Oshi, talk to you, Father.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Hotep, Jake.
Okay, brother. Oshi, take care, man.
Thank you, Doc Rogers. Appreciate you, dear brother. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Mama Nabantu, how you doing, dear?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you. Thank you for holding on. Yeah.
No. I'm traveling.
Oh, are you?
Okay.
Oh, well, listen, traveling grace. And hope you get there safely, and more importantly, just as importantly, rather, you return back to us here safely, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mama Nabantu. Appreciate you.
Nope.
All right.
No
brothers.
Problem.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just to MIND, but to MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Have a good week. Have a good day tomorrow with your family. And remember our ancestors. Remember your family members. Remember Uncle Junebug and Uncle Charlie and Aunt Judah May. Remember them. Say their name. Say their name. Because by saying their name, you keep their memory and their spirit alive. Give honor to them on tomorrow. Yes, we know. I know what it's about. I explained it to you. I presented it to you. And I know, hopefully now that you know, do what is right. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Hodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace.